Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them, "This is a parable." Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in heaven, over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous people who do not repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully till she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
War is a horrible thing, isn't it? It results in so much suffering and sadness and heartache. Yes, there are great acts of courage and bravery, but it would be far better if it never happened at all. But we just don't seem to be able to stop fighting one another. Somewhere in the world, there is always fighting going on. Nations fighting against one another, fighting within nations as well. We spend billions of pounds so that we are not defeated in war. The best we seem to be able to do is to put a lid on it, only for it to break out somewhere else. And if we're honest, the greed and selfishness that causes war is inside us too, and sometimes causes us to be at war, even with those that we love the most. We can put a lid on it sometimes, but we don't seem to be able to stop it. But there is good news this morning, and it comes in words which were originally a nasty insult. We've got two groups of people at the start of Luke chapter 15. We've got a group of tax collectors and those labelled as sinners. Now, the tax collectors were collecting money. I wonder, anyone tell me who they were collecting money for? I think we've got...
The government.
The government, yes, okay. Well, today, tax collectors collect money for the government, don't they? And who was the government? Who was in charge in Jesus' time?
Romans.
Say again. Oh, we've got a bit of... The Romans. Yes, that's right. They were collecting money, weren't they, for the Romans and to maintain the Roman army who had invaded the land. So they were traitors. Someone who ought to be on our side, but is actually helping the enemy. These tax collectors, they were traitors to the nation, and they were traitors to God as well, because these people thought of themselves as God's people. And with them were those labelled as sinners. People whose lives were in a mess and who everybody else looked down on. So that's one group of people. And then the other group of people were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, God's teachers of God's law. Anyone tell me what they were like? What were these Pharisees like?
They were like mean people.
Yeah. Is that Is that Jacob?
Yes.
What were the Pharisees like?
They were good people. Then my
Okay, I couldn't quite catch all of that, but I think you said that they were the good people, weren't they? They were the good guys. They were very religious, very respectable, very proper. And here they are muttering. They're talking amongst themselves. They're saying to one another, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." They're talking about Jesus. Now, even today, to share a meal with somebody is a sign of friendship. At least it was before lockdown. And these religious leaders are shocked that Jesus is welcoming these sort of people. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. They wouldn't want to even be contaminated by them. But here is Jesus being friends with them. If he's the Messiah, wouldn't he be keeping himself pure? Wouldn't he be spending time with the religious people? This snarling insult is spat out through gritted teeth. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. It was an insult, but it's wonderfully true. This man does welcome sinners. And here's the answer to the human disease of war and of the wrong that's in each one of us. Maybe someone's listening this morning and you're very aware of mistakes that you've made. You think you could never be good enough for God. Or maybe you've got no real sense of God being there at all. Well, this man welcomes sinners. These religious leaders thought that they were giving their insult its final twist. But actually, they've never spoken a truer word. This man welcomes sinners. And to explain, Jesus tells some parables. We read the first two. In the parable, there was something that was lost, wasn't there? Who can tell me what was lost in the two stories that Jesus told?
The sheep and the coin.
A silver coin.
There was a story was about a lost coin. Yep.
A sheep.
And a sheep. That's right. So we've got a lost sheep. I think we've got a pitcher and a lost coin. So here's the first thing that Jesus is saying in these stories, that we've all lost contact with God. By ourselves, that's how we are. People are like sheep that have wandered off and got themselves separated from the shepherd. Sometimes people are aware of that lostness. They might not always be able to put their finger on it, but they know that something is missing. Many have felt that during the pandemic as other things have been taken away. They have struggled. They thought to themselves, there must be more to life than this. And that's because they're separated from God. Others breeze through life without much of a care, not sure whether God is even there. But that's because they too have lost contact with him. Like a sheep that has wandered off and lost contact with the shepherd. We live in God's world as if he was not there. Our politicians and our armies try to keep a lid on things for a while, but that's all that they can do. Because deep down, our problem is that we've lost contact with God, alienated from the God who made us. But each story, that which was lost is found. Who can tell me? Who went searching for the sheep? Who went searching for the sheep that was lost?
God.
Shepherd.
The shepherd, that's right, yeah. The shepherd goes searching for the lost sheep. I think we've got a picture. And the woman, she turns her house upside down looking for the lost coin, doesn't she? So here's the second thing to get hold of. God spares no effort to get us back. God spares no effort to get us back. The shepherd, he goes out searching everywhere for his lost sheep until he finds it. And the woman sweeps out every corner of her house until she finds that lost coin. These stories from Jesus are saying, my Father cares passionately about the lost ones, those who've lost contact with God, and he spares no effort to get them back. These Pharisees, they're scoffing at Jesus, aren't they, for welcoming sinners? But it's exactly what he came for, to search for those who've lost contact with God. He hasn't come to congratulate the religious people. He's come to rescue the lost. And he spares no effort to get us back. It will cost him his life to do so. So here is a God who does whatever it takes for lost people to be found. And when that happens, there is great joy when the lost are found. The shepherd who finds his sheep is overjoyed. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. The woman who has found her lost coin, what does she do? She calls her friends, doesn't she, and neighbors together, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. There's great joy when the lost are found. One writer gave his story of becoming a Christian, he gave it this title, Surprised by Joy. That was his experience. Surprised by joy. There's joy for the sheep because they're back where they belong, no longer alone, no longer lost. And there is joy for the shepherd. Rejoice with me, he says. It was worth it, worth all the effort to recover this lost one. And now there's joy in heaven. We're going to listen to another song in a moment. But just before we do, the question to be asking ourselves is this. Where am I in this mission of Jesus? Do I know this joy in my own life? The joy of being found? If not, if God seems to be remote, well, don't despair, because God comes looking for people like you, those who've lost contact with him. And if we do know this joy, are we eager for others to share it too? For the lost to be found? Do we share the shepherd's sense of excitement and eagerness? There's one more thing that Jesus is saying in these stories, which we'll look at in a moment. And it's here in verse 7. Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And it comes again in verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This rescue is for those who repent. Now, verse 7 is a bit of a puzzle, because who does not need to repent? It talks about the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent? Well, actually, the answer is nobody. All have gone astray and need to turn around. Those 99 righteous persons don't think they need to. They think they've got it all sorted. But they're mistaken. You remember the two groups of people that are there listening to these stories? Who was Jesus actually telling these stories to? Which group do you think? Any suggestions? Which group of people? Was it the Pharisees or was it the tax collectors that Jesus was particularly telling these stories to?
The Pharisees! The Pharisees!
That's right, it was, yes. He wasn't telling it to the tax collectors. He was telling it to the religious people. Those who were very respectable, who looked good on the outside, who seemed to be righteous. But their hearts aren't in tune with God at all, are they? They're not concerned about the lost. They're busy looking after their own, the 99. And Jesus is saying to them, you religious types, you need to change your attitude. You need a big change of heart and get in tune with God's heart, God's mission. This rescue is for those who repent. And that applies to those who are respectable and those who are not. They are tax collectors and sinners. So let's not misunderstand repentance. It's not about trying harder. It's not doing your best to brush up your life. That's what these Pharisees were doing. No. This sheep, it didn't do anything, did it? It didn't contribute anything to being found. All it did was get itself lost. The truth is, we all need a rescue, and we only receive it by turning back to God, willing to put him in charge. That's repentance, that change of attitude towards God. And it becomes clearer in the third story that we'll look at next week. But perhaps there is someone who knows that today is the day for you to turn back and receive the joy of God's rescue. Let's have a prayer together. Dear God, thank you that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Help us all to see our need of that rescue. And we thank you that for all who turn back to you, there is the lasting joy of a heavenly home, a heavenly welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to listen to one final song, Astounding Grace. It speaks of God's great, astounding generosity in doing everything that was needed, sparing no effort for rescuing people like you and me.